A telephone rings at 2 a.m., and your stomach drops. Walking into that delivery room, you see a scene that strips away all pretense. A woman screaming, her partner frozen in terror, a midwife hovering anxiously. Pain, in these moments, is the great equalizer. It doesn't care about your bank account, your education, or your plans. It simply demands attention. Then comes the epidural, and within minutes, transformation. The screaming woman becomes conversational, almost serene. This isn't magic, it's the peculiar nature of pain itself. Pain sits at the intersection of body and mind in ways that still confound us. We've sent humans to the moon, sequenced the genome, yet we remain humbled by this most fundamental experience. More people suffer from chronic pain than cancer, heart disease, and diabetes combined. Yet we treat it with a curious mix of pharmaceutical hope and medical hubris, often making things worse. Understanding pain means understanding ourselves, our biology, our psychology, our contradictions. Pain works like your body's alarm system. Nociceptors convert damage into electrical signals racing to your brain. But here's the twist. David Beckham ruptured his Achilles tendon mid-match and kept playing, confused but not distressed, until he realized it meant missing the World Cup. Only then did he collapse in agony. The injury hadn't changed, its meaning had. Pain and injury aren't proportional. Your brain receives damage reports constantly, but decides which ones matter. Soldiers wounded in battle often report no pain until they're safe. The brain possesses descending pathways that turn down pain signals like a volume knob. Depression, anxiety, and catastrophizing, that spiral of negative thinking, don't just correlate with worse outcomes, they physically sensitize your alarm system. Preoperative anxiety predicts postoperative pain more reliably than the surgery itself. Your thoughts literally reshape your pain experience through measurable biological pathways. For millennia, pain signified divine punishment or demonic possession. The word itself derives from penalty. Northern Europeans used birch fungus for parasites. Peruvians drilled skulls to release headache-causing spirits. These weren't mere superstitions, but attempts at meaning-making. Greek philosophers made early progress. Hippocrates sought physical rather than divine origins, though Aristotle placed sensation in the heart, a view that persists when we say heartbreak, not brain break. Renaissance dissections revealed the heart as merely a pump. Descartes proposed the brain as sensation center, imagining pain traveling through a single tube from injury to awareness, simplistic but revolutionary. Modern understanding emerged slowly. World War II observations that soldiers experienced less pain than civilians with identical injuries challenged purely physical models, leading to Malzack and Wall's 1965 gait control theory, which explained how pain signals could be amplified or dampened at the spinal cord. The 19th century brought anesthesia. Morton's 1846 dental demonstration, Simpson's 1848 chloroform for childbirth. Individual comfort finally mattered more than pain's supposed spiritual meaning. We'd begun our modern pursuit of pharmaceutical solutions, a pursuit that would eventually create as many problems as it solved. Managing pain means targeting damaged tissue, signal networks, brain interpretation, and natural inhibitory pathways. We have medications for each stage, yet none work perfectly. Local anesthetics temporarily block signals, but aren't suitable long-term. Everything else merely modulates, and whatever reaches your brain gets interpreted through your unique lens of expectations, beliefs, mood, and past experiences. Antidepressants like amitriptyline enhance descending inhibitory pathways, helping 1 in 7 patients while harming 1 in 14, providing at best 30-50% relief. Anti-epileptics, like gabapentin, target overexcited nerves, also helping only 1 in 7. Despite poor efficacy, these drugs are prescribed ubiquitously, causing confusion, sleepiness, and falls in elderly patients. Doctors often prescribe them from desperation, managing their own distress rather than following evidence. The opioid crisis emerged from our desire to alleviate suffering combined with medical arrogance. we believed we could pharmacologically manage pain while ignoring its biopsychosocial nature. The explosion of opioid formulations, lollipops, sprays, patches, created new addiction pathways. For chronic pain patients, opioids provide temporary escape, making them fiercely resistant to reduction efforts. Now we're repeating the mistake with cannabis, rushing ahead with adequate trials. Most studies show cannabinoids are ineffective for neuropathic pain. We prefer prescribing pills to investing in psychological therapies or physiotherapy, partly because pills generate revenue while lifestyle conversations don't. Pain typically fades after healing, becoming an itch at the edge of perception, before disappearing. Sometimes it doesn't. Helen, a 48-year-old operating room nurse, experienced widespread body pain, a deep ache worsening throughout the day, constant fatigue, memory problems, unrefreshing sleep. She suffered from fibromyalgia, where genetic susceptibility combines with environmental triggers, injuries, stress, infections, leading to pain system excitability and disrupted sleep and mood regulation. Complex regional pain syndrome takes this further. Following minor trauma, some people develop disproportionate pain responses with limbs that change temperature and color, develop tremors, and experience hair loss and skin changes. Chronic pain is real, not imagined. It results from malfunctioning nerves. Unlike acute pain, chronic pain disability depends on personal resilience and management approach. Three approaches exist: obsessing over the alarm, trying to ignore it, which consumes enormous energy, or learning to live with the unpleasant situation. Pain constantly demands attention, like a small dog yapping at your heels, affecting identity and preventing memory-forming activities. The persistence has biological foundations: enzyme differences, genetic variations, spinal cord changes amplifying signals. The brain itself physically changes, reducing gray matter and forming new connections that heighten sensitivity. A bitter irony where pain creates more pain. Catastrophizing activates brain areas that amplify pain pathways, like water carving wider channels in a riverbed. Avoiding movement causes muscles to stiffen, creating safe pain that feels dangerous, reinforcing beliefs that something is fundamentally wrong. Modern pain interventions, nerve destruction, steroid injections, electrical stimulation, often lack solid evidence. Steroid injections for back pain became standard without proper trials. Between 1953 to 1993, most studies were biased. Later research showed mixed results, yet the practice continues. MRI scans reveal identical changes in pain-free individuals as those with back pain, undermining connections between imaging and symptoms. The industry continues performing procedures and collecting fees, sometimes unethically splitting procedures across multiple visits to triple earnings. Spinal cord stimulation, SCS, shows the strongest evidence among interventional therapies. Around 2008, revolutionary 10 kHz high-frequency systems emerged, validated by 2015 trials, showing superior pain relief without tingling sensations. This paradigm shift allows stimulation during sleep or driving, removing rehabilitation barriers. Patients arriving at pain clinics fall into three categories: those with nerve damage, those with inflammatory autoimmune conditions, and the largest group with non-specific chronic pain. Financial motivations drive unnecessary interventions. Conversations about managing pain through movement generate no revenue, while offering injections every 3 months does. Psychologically distressed patients benefit least from interventional techniques, but demand them most. Modern pain medicine prioritizes overall well-being over symptoms. The most powerful therapy is education, understanding that sensations can be influenced and every life aspect affects pain. Medicine needs fundamental rethinking. We understand disease prevention, but invest little in it, profiting instead from managing self-inflicted conditions. The paradox is stark, warning that smoking kills while producing cigarettes, lamenting soft drinks' health impact while manufacturing them, Yet basic sanitation, proper nutrition, safe driving, avoiding alcohol, limiting sugar, regular exercise, and mindful living prevent 90% of conditions requiring intervention. Pain management through physiotherapy, psychology, and spinal cord stimulation shows promise. But thriving societies demonstrate what works. Whole foods, physical activity, community connection, and ikigai, your reason for being. Pain cannot be completely extinguished with medicines. It's a biological alarm, but your response remains a choice. Take responsibility for your health. Work collaboratively with healthcare providers. In a world selling pharmaceutical solutions to existential problems, perhaps the most radical act is accepting that wellness cannot be prescribed. It must be lived, one conscious choice at a time.